Thank you, Professor Miao, and good morning again to everyone. So this is a little bit not an easy job, actually, because we have very excellent presentation previously. Some content probably just overlap a little bit, so I hope that you will bear with it. So again, so we know the aquaculture production has been the fastest growing food production sector and promises to meet the dietary protein demand for growing population. And Asia, particularly in this region, has played most important leading roles in the past 3-4 decades. So, however, despite this massive production volume, the rapid development of aquaculture attributed to advances in science and technology has been a relatively recent phenomenon. So many of the aquaculture systems in nowadays in practice are still very much empirical or kind of art to some extent, with which precision of science has yet to be established. So trial and error to me still feel like is a way of thinking, and actually is almost like an important approach for farmers to tap into what we call the maxima of system carrying capacity and the production margins, which demanded by either food security reasons or by chasing the commercial profit or by both. So frequently, actually, so farmers try to, because of the imperfect science, I should say, and the greediness, actually, so farmers, they try to blindly maximize the profit, maximize the production, which push the system to capacity to such a limit near the collapsing point, so where diseases production collapse and become like common phenomena. And farmers actually suffered a lot from economic loss because of this blind maximization of the production. So this is especially true is the case for the intensive shrimp production. Actually, feed and feeding decisions at farm level is really a difficulty for majority of the farmers. This is simply because what we call precision feeding, decided by the biomass of the cultured organism, environmental conditions, and feeding behaviors. This information relatively is beyond the reach of the farmers. Majority of farmers, they cannot make really what so-called precision feeding. And another thing is important factors, because farmers, they tend to believe that you feed more, you get better production. So this is the kind of thinking, the behavioral thinking. So because of this, so feeding actually at the farm level always fall into the trap I just showed you before. So feeds and feeding decisions at farm level is very much important, because improper feeding, we all know, will result in low feed utilization efficiency, self-pollution of the culture environment, and in most cases is the primary reason responsible for crop failure and negative environmental impacts. Because if the feeding efficiency is low, most of the nutrients will be wasted into the culture waters, ultimately will be discharged into the environment. It not only represents the economic loss, but also negative environmental impact. So feed is the most important system input and production factor that determines production intensity. So normally we think at least it costs count like 40-80%. Well, it's 40 to 60% reported by Professor Sena. Those are semi-intensive based system, and most of now for intensive system we are talking about 70-80% the total feed cost. So innovations in feed and feeding technologies and farming practices to improve feed utilization efficiency are crucially important for sustainable aquaculture. So because of all this general consideration of the reasons, so I try to see what are the real innovations at the farm level we have. So first, a few slides, I will just try to list some innovative feeding strategies which farmers are currently using to some extent to improve feed utilization efficiency. Second, I would like to have a very brief look at those relatively ecologically efficient farming systems, and we will check through one by one. Of course, this list is very long. I just choose some of the typical systems so we can have discussion on that. And third, probably I just think that a little bit about how we're going to move forward in regard of the research, technology development, and at farm level innovations. So at farm level, actually manipulate the feed by farmers themselves to some extent to me, I feel like it's with very limited scope because the feed you give to farmers, especially the pellets feed, is concerned. So that essentially nutrients, all those things beyond their manipulation. The only thing is like how they handle the feeding, how they practice the feeding. So basic things is like let fish eat, but not a daily feast. I think this is Professor Saina already showed some very good example. So I just start with this, okay. First one, some kind of innovation we can consider is the starvation, restricted feeding, and compensatory growth. So actual compensatory growth, as the research has demonstrated, is exist in most of the cultured fish species. So that means fish, when you feed, you give them a certain period of starvation or restricted feeding, and then you provide sufficient feed so they can compensate the growth loss during the starvation and the restricted feeding. So this one actually can effectively reduce the total feed amount put into the aquaculture system. So the good example is in India, actually for India meadow carp culture, so farmers use kind of alternative feeding strategies. So that means they continue feed for like 7 to 8 days and stop feeding for 1 day. And the Vietnamese catfish, Professor Sen already presents a very good case. I'm not going into this detail, but this is one of the innovation actually at the farm level, as the farmers how handle feeding. And of course, there are some research on other species, for example, tilapia in Philippines in early years. So it showed that tilapia, you use alternate feeding days. This kind of feeding cream essentially can save up to 40% of the feed. This is a great achievement. Okay, this is early research. And later in the milk fish and cage culture also showed that very positive impact of this what we called alternative feeding strategy and expanded to Bangladesh through one of the research project. So basically also this kind of feed, alternative feeding strategy in polyculture in Bangladesh actually also saved up to 50% of the feed, but not really compromise the total production. So another way actually at farm level is in some extent in practice is what we call the brick feeding schedule. Okay, this is not means we brick feeding schedule. Basically, it's just split the ratio, one ration into the two or three part, okay? Keep the certain time interval. This is just in respect of the cultured organism population. There is size variation. Some fish are small, some fish big. Some fish eating faster, some fish eat slower. So if you just separate the ratio into different part, so with different time give to them, so that means to try to maximize close to what so-called population satiation feeding. In that way, we can explore the maximum growth of fish. And another very interesting thing is at the farm level, okay, so how to manage the feeding, so the feeding ring. This is I really need to emphasize. Here, actually, the feeding ring is very much important to reduce feed waste because when we put, especially the pellet, the floating feed, when you throw into the pond because of wind or something, blow to the pond dioxide, so it mix with mud and then just waste it. This photo I took from one of our sea bass pond culture in Chaqing. So this is the feeding ring that the feeding ring they decide. Essentially, it's just like HEPA in the pond but without the bottom. Okay, when during the early weaning stage, you start train the fish, let them come to the fixed point to feed. So later they get used to that. Just swim under this feeding ring, come into this feeding ring inside. After feed, they go away. So this will minimize the feed waste. So because of the weather condition or whatever. So I think this kind of thing is really very small. It's not really that much like feel like significant change at the farm management level, but they are really important. Okay, this is what really farmers, they need. Okay, so this is just so far as things I can see at the farm level, how farmers, especially majority small scale farmers, what they can do regarding the feed, when they hold the feed in their hand, how they should do. And the next part, I'll just show you some farming systems, okay? Because we know that most of the aquaculture systems, the feed is the essential input. We cannot say we don't use feed. We just use the natural food production to produce enough fish. That is impossible. So if feeding is inevitable, and nutrition waste is inevitable. So what we can do? So the way is to recover. How to recover? So that is the system approach. That means we need to really promote, to utilize some of the really good farming system. So first thing I want to mention here is increased productivity through the pond fertilization. This is a very well-established series practices and a reliable low-cost production strategy. Okay, I still consider this is very much relevant to food security and the livelihood of some poverty-stricken rural communities. This is all, I still think it's very one of the best strategies at this moment for those marginalized rural communities. But increasingly debated on choice of fertilizers and where and how to use in respect of the food security and environmental concerns. So especially when it comes to the one of the actually based on the fertilization series, what so-called integrated farming, livestock fish integration, or other integrated farming system. So food security is a concern. And also inorganic fertilizer, research shows that inorganic fertilizer is as effective as organic fertilizer, whether it should be used. So all these things are debatable. But to some of the aquaculture farms and early development stage, so this is one of the actually best strategy to improve their productivity. Of course, there are some other methods, especially in the resource-poor aquaculture setups. There are some other way to increase the natural food productivity. For example, you stimulate the perfect growth by providing some substrate in water column or at the pond bottom. So all these things actually has been researched and has in application in some also farming communities. Now, rice fish culture is very old and long history. Probably you say why I put it here, because rice fish culture actually is a lot of innovations in the what so-called rice fish culture. And actually it is transformed into kind of intensive culture, produce very significant amount of fish in these settings. It's not traditional very low density any further. As you see this photo taken from China, so inside that fish refugee essentially is an intensive cement culture tank. Stocking depth is very high. The good thing is that fish has a wild space. They can swim out, enjoy their, you know, leisure time after eating. So this is a good benefit for rice. At the same time, they can grow well. So of course, rice fish system, you grow same amount of fish. You use a lot less feed. So, of course, save the feed cost. Bioflocks, just so many this morning mentioned about this bioflock system. This is basically you use heterotrophic pathways, try to utilize the waste nutrients from the feed you put into the culture system. So those nutrients can be used by the microorganism. They form what so-called bioflocks. So the bioflocks can be reconsumed by the culture organism. And in that way, we can save the feed cost. There have been the great actual sort of propaganda and advocates on this bioflock systems. And recently in Thailand, what so-called biomimicry system, all these things. And the basic principles is quite clear. But we have to be very much understand that first of all is this kind of system, you need really some kind of delicate eco balance. So that means you maintenance, you need really very good management effort. Otherwise, it's tend to be crushed, especially in intensive systems from the pond input. So that is definitely will reduce the feed cost and feed input. Polyculture, again, what we call intensified polyculture system, significantly reduce FCR in relation to the total harvestable biomass. So here we are not talking about you put feed specific to the mean primary cultured species. We are talking about the total harvestable biomass. In that way, FCR can be significantly increased. So we are here again, we are talking about intensified polyculture system. It's not ordinary traditional cup cultures in China or India with a traditional metal cup culture. Those, of course, save a lot of feed costs, but intensive culture, now polyculture is very much relevant at this moment, especially intensive shrimp culture. You polyculture with tilapia, or with any other secondary consumers, which change the culture environment, benefit the health of the shrimp, at the same time, you increase the total productivity. So this is, again, we should pay attention for this kind of culture system. Again, you mentioned the multiple trophy, so this is for the marine part, I don't want to touch so much. Basically, it's nothing really much related. We know that reducing environmental impact, but not much really related with the feed cost saving. But land-based recirculation system is very relevant for at farm level to reduce the feed cost. What here by means the land-based recirculation system, I mean you have the main culture unit, for example, for shrimp, and you have the secondary culture unit, for example, tilapia, to consume the natural food produced inside of the main culture organism. And after that, you go to the mussels, you go to the seaweed. So through this whole recirculation, you improve the whole system eco-efficiency, increase the nutrition utilization. So this is land-based recirculation system. It has been practiced for many years in Thailand and even in Vietnam. So some farm systems following this model, especially when now the shrimp disease is a major issue, this kind of land-based recirculation system probably was to be promoted again. So this is another system and come to my mind. And of course, there are a lot of other kind of integrated system. One example that I want to mention here is what so-called intensive and semi-intensive integration. So one good example is early years developed in Asia Institute of Technology. You put the cage into the pond. Inside the cage, you put the high density of the fish. You feed with pellet feed. So nutrients will leach out from the intensive cage and go around the pond as the fertilizer, the surrounding pond water. So inside the pond, you can put other fish like tilapia. So this is kind of, we call it intensive, semi-intensive integration. And this is being further pushed to the better management. For example, this is in China a good example. This is actually a raceway inside of the pond. Okay, you have this vast land, vast pond. This is like a raceway. We are talking about productivity. We are talking here is about 100 kilogram per cubic meter water. So it's very high. So water is constantly flow through this culture unit with all these paddle wheels and water blowers. And of course, at the same time, you need to provide very good aeration and very mechanized, precise the feeding mechanism. So, but all the wastewater and waste will be sucked out, blown out, and the recycled within these large water bodies. And in these large water bodies, you can grow aquatic plants, you can grow secondary fish, omnivorous fish. So this is another very good example. Of course, this is much, much intensified, okay? Because nowadays, we know intensification is a 10. When we're talking about production, we cannot, production system, we cannot say that because of environmental sake, we sacrifice our production. That is not actually not our choice. Because population is growing, we need more food. Okay, intensification is a process. This is, again, it's a really intensified, what's so-called intensive and semi-intensive integrated system, sorry. So this just, I just show you some examples, okay, at the farm level. What kind of system probably more ecologically relevant and efficient? So here are just some of the comments and regarding my presentations. And the first one I think is that on-farm feed management practice is an important mechanism. Mechanism needs to be developed to promote and communicate these innovations to other farmers. A lot of farmers, even we know that alternative feeding is very good and you need very good feeding practices, but a lot of farmers probably they don't know. Behaviorally, they don't follow this kind of good feed management practices. Farmers' innovations may look insignificant, yet minor change may result in big difference. Human dimension matters. This is very important in feeding management. So that means that we really need to push very hard, try to let farmers to understand the importance of the feeding management at farm level. We need to get the information crossed, get all these innovations and technology crossed, let farmers to understand, put into the practice. And the system solutions, of course, very sensitive to resource settings. Different resources, we need to choose different systems. So we need adaptive learning processes needed. So that means we really need to go through this eventually, see what is the best. And proximity to the precision feeding should be perceived. So whatever. So this is the, that means we really need to know how much fish feed. We don't overfeed. So this is the, of course, it's difficult to reach this what so-called precision feeding, but we should try. We should think. This is, I borrowed some photos from this called e-fisheries. So this is probably, in some way, we eventually move in this method. Most important in the feed management, feeding management, to save the cost is the, what I feel is the precision feeding. You really need to put feed there, let fish really eat, don't waste anything. So we need some of the technologies. For example, we really need some ultrasonic sensors or infrared sensors or light sensors, other sensors to feed, to monitor really how much feed fish are eating and whether how the, what is their behavior. So all this information can be feedback to the automatic feeders. So this way you will likely to reduce kind of overfeedings. Of course, because of the nowadays technology development very fast, we have the IT sectors, so all these things can be integrated into this kind of automated system. And this kind of automated system, it is possible for self-learn based on the weather condition, based on the fish behavior, all these things. All these things is possible, okay? And it's a potential. We should not close our eyes, say, okay, we look to our small-scale farmers, we stick to our simple technologies, but we should say there is technological solutions for precision feedings. And of course, the, nowadays you have connection to the mobile phone, connection to the computers. So this way you can directly even go to the e-market from the farmers to consumers table. So all these are possible technically. Okay, this is just my presentation. Thank you very much.